You're the brave first one. What's your name?
My name is TJ Hill. Go for it. How you doing, everybody?
Morning.
Sorry if I'm a little bit nervous. I haven't given my testimony in a little over a year now. My name is TJ Hill, and for about 10 years of my life, I wasted them partying too much, and I was an alcoholic. I had a good job. I had a good place to live. I have two beautiful daughters, and I was pretty much a functional alcoholic. I looked on the outside like I had everything together, but really, on the inside, I was dying inside. And I tried to, I guess you could say, have your cake and eat it too. Tried to be a family man, you know, raise my daughters, and still tried to, you know, go out there and party and, you know, drink every night and, you know, do stupid things. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it on my own. I lean on my own understanding, which you're not supposed to do. And years later, I wound up in a jail cell, you know, after several DUIs, and I'd lost everything. I lost my place to live. I'd broken up with my ex. I wasn't seeing my kids. And that's when I got down on my knees and I prayed to God. I said, please, God, you know, if you could, just get me out of this one last time. Because that's really the only time I really prayed before that. I guess they call it foxhole prayers, when your back's against the wall and, you know, you pray. And I was in there for about 6 months, but the judge let me out on a furlough, and I came to this program called Teen Challenge. And I'd never really read the Bible before or really, you know, had a relationship with the Lord. But as I went through the program, I surrendered. I realized that it's not about me, and I can't rely on my own understanding anymore. It's His will, not mine. So I went through the program. I finished the program back in 2013. I worked there as staff, and I was going to school full time, going to college. But this whole time, I still had this open case that was going on. And according to my lawyer, that if I finished the program and did everything I was supposed to do, since I was eligible for probation, that the judge was going to give me probation. So that's what I had thought. So when my final court day came around, instead of giving me probation like I had thought, I thought I was going to be in and out, the judge decided to kind of slam me, I guess, and he said 3 years. So, I mean, in Illinois, it was actually a year and a half, so I had to serve half of that time. But I didn't understand why, because I had been doing everything I was supposed to be doing. I had been praying and fasting, and I had faith that I wasn't going to go to prison. But I realized that you're not supposed to understand, you know, what God's will is. All we're meant to do is accept it. So while I was in there, you know, I did get to minister to a lot of people while I was in there and, you know, talk about God, which, you know, I never would have done in the past if I hadn't been through the program. And one young man in particular, you know, stands out in my mind that I met in Stateville. He was a gang member, and he said he had been gangbanging, you know, ever since he was a little kid. And for fun, he goes out to other neighborhoods and, you know, shoots other gang members, and that's, you know, all he knows, and that's what he was all about. And he told me, you know, when you get out of prison, you know, I'll take you on a ride-along sometime. And I told him, you know, how about I take you on a ride-along? And that's when I pulled out my Bible. I pulled out my Bible, and I started talking to him. And I told him all about King David. And he really was really interested in that story and really fascinated by it. And I showed him in the Bible where it began. And I gave him my Bible, and he read it while we were in there. And I got to talk to him about Jesus and about God and the promises that he has for us. And he told me it was the first time in his life that he had ever actually read the Bible. Now, I don't know where that young man is right now, but and I don't know exactly, you know, why I did have to go to prison. You know, I thought I was doing everything right. You know, I had faith. Maybe it could have been for that guy. Maybe it could have been for some of the other guys that I you know, ministered to while I was in there. I may never know the reasons why, but all I can say is now that, you know, once I got out of prison back in April, I went back to school. I re-enlisted, you know, to finish up where I left off. I came back to Teen Challenge, you know, to help out around here with the guys. And I work full-time also in another job. And so I'm back on as staff at Teen Challenge. And I get to see my two beautiful daughters every other weekend. I go back to Rockford. So that's a blessing right there. So I am really super busy right now, but if someone were to come up to me and ask me how I'm feeling, I could tell them I'm too blessed to be stressed. Amen. And just the Lord is working through me, and you know, I continue to have faith in Him, and you know, I know He's there for me. He will never leave you or forsake you. And I'd like to leave you with a scripture today. It's Ephesians 6, 19 and 20. Pray also for the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should.
Amen.
Thank you for having us.
I'm thinking we might need another. There's enough power here, but there's not enough power here. I think we might need another battery before we're done, or another mic. Thank you, TJ. That's just a phenomenal story. Thank you for your honesty. Let me say this, that if we seem just a little bit uncoordinated this morning, it's because there's a number of things that went wrong. How many of you had things that went wrong today so far? Yeah. Well, one of Teen Challenge's vehicles broke down, so they had to go get, it's a choir director, right? Yeah. So, but he's here now, but it kind of threw some things off this morning. So, yes. There he is right there. And okay, the choir's going to come on up. Oh, you could welcome them while they come. I think they're going to be good.
Something goes wrong. I always tell the guys, you know, this is just a great opportunity for Jesus to show off.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, God always pulls it through, and His will be done. You know, it's all about Him, and let His kingdom come, like the song said. Let His kingdom come.
Okay, guys, are you ready for this? I'm sorry, I don't have the sheet. But I think we got it. I'll give you a little.
All right, sir, anytime.
Yeah.
Will lead me home.
Yeah. My spirit's testing.
spirit's tested.
My feet are planted
on your word.
And when my spirit's
rested,
when I believe
in what I've heard.
You guys doing? I just want to say thank you so much for welcoming all of us. It's a blessing to be able to meet and fellowship with new believers. When we came here, we seen the sign posted up, Welcome Teen Challenge. It just made me feel so joyful. So thank you for having us here. Testimony. My name is Robert. Everybody calls me Bobby. I'm 27 years old. I was born on the south side of Chicago. Mom, dad, love them. God gave them to me. They just weren't ready to have children at the time. So the home life wasn't the best. They divorced when I was 4 years old and often would fight in front of us. Grandfather, he was a Southern Baptist from West Virginia, so we had deacons, missionaries, preachers in our family. So I had a concept of God even when I was young. I remember people praying over me. And my grandfather later passed away. My mother met my stepfather, and we moved in with him. So I instantly had six siblings. I had three brothers, three sisters, and sadly, even to this day, none of them believe in God. So this was a really ungodly home that I came into. It was very loose, very vulgar, very chaotic, and we grew up in the city growing up, and it was kind of rough. We struggled financially and spiritually, but moving on, my three older brothers, they were all gang members, so this had a real heavy influence on me when I was young. You know, I used to look up to them, you know, the incarceration, the trouble, the violence. I really looked up to that, and later that's where I would take my life, in that route. But so I get in trouble a lot. I get into a lot of fights in school, a lot of police involvement. My dad, he met my stepmother, and he moved out of state, so I rarely would see him. So I don't know, I always had like a barrier with people. It was hard having social skills. I was very shy. I really had a hostility towards men. I really didn't get along with men at all. So this went up with me as I grew up. I started smoking marijuana at age 12, drinking alcohol at age 13, and taking prescription pain pills by 14. Due to the lack of like love and nurturing and in the social environment of my home, I really took to drugs and alcohol immediately. I hated being sober, so I felt like it really felt that void. Life was like, to me, it was enhanced, it was better. And it was really rough for me by then. When I went into high school, I really started getting more into the street life. All I cared about was violence, guns, selling drugs, doing drugs. It was like an outlet for me to just really release my frustration and anger at life. I felt acceptance, and I just continued on that path for the longest. I would go to a church here and there, but I had this misconception that if you mentally accepted Jesus Christ and you believed him in your mind, you were okay and saved, which is a really wrong misconception to have. In retrospect, I look back at it. I've seen a lot of things and I did a lot of things that I'm not proud of. By 17, I was incarcerated. I spent 2 years. My young adulthood was in and out of prison. I spent 6.5 years in prison. I would get out and go straight back to the lifestyle. I just didn't care. I was completely out of control. I had no hope whatsoever. By age 23, I began using heroin, and it really wrecked my life. For a year, I struggled with that, and it was a life of desperation. I deteriorated. I was depraved. I spent moments of homelessness, but it was really a blessing because it really destroyed my pride. I did things that I never thought I would. I'd go places I never thought I'd go to. People were dying left and right because of the heroin epidemic. So this is about that time I really started thinking about the God of my childhood. You know, I was really desperate. I began going to church, began praying. I eventually caught another case, and this time my whole life shattered. And I had nobody to lean on, nothing to cling on. So I burnt relationships. People walked away from me. So I remember sitting in the county jail, and I was just full of rage and hopelessness and pain. And I had a cellmate who was a Christian. We'd do Bible study together, and volunteers would come and minister to us. And I really began to feel God's gentle hand just pulling me into that direction. You know, I felt like he told my heart that, you know, he would heal me, love me, and be the family I never had. And I remember that clearly. And I gave my life to Christ in the cell. And I renounced my gang affiliation. And I began really walking and fellowshipping. By the time I went to prison, I got baptized. I got a job with the chaplain. I started studying theology and apologetics. I was really growing and just on fire for God and loving it. Those 3 years incarcerated with God were the most sweetest and purposeful moments of my entire life. Hallelujah. Amen. There were character issues that he was bringing to my attention at that time, and I would procrastinate and put them off because they were uncomfortable and painful. And I really wish I would have addressed them and taken them more seriously. But I was released November 20th, 2014. I went to an entire new area to start fresh, no contact with old faces or friends. And I really tried to walk out in faith with God. I kept an oath to him. He started blessing me. He gave me a job right away. I was at the Salvation Army, just volunteering and growing with the Christian community. I got a church home. The pastor had favor on me and gave me 2 positions. I was just loving it. You know, he was making all my dreams come true. But those same character issues I never addressed then resurfaced. The loneliness, the discontent, the impatience, it really got to me. And I began wrestling with God. And it manifested itself by me drinking again. Then I began listening to secular music. That all started to deteriorate my mind and my soul, and I eventually ended up relapsing on heroin. I overdosed, and I was hospitalized. And by then, I was really pouring my heart out to God. I really didn't understand things. You know, he had blessed me with so much. Why was I doing this? I was ashamed. I was guilty. I was angry at myself. I just remember praying. I remember the verse, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. It was said, "He who began a good work in you will bring it out to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." So I knew he wasn't done with me. I was praying that. And I had a lot of options, either go to rehabs, go to these programs. But I just prayed to God, and I told him, you know, I'm only happy when I'm in your house with your people doing your will. I really don't want to do this secular worldly thing. I just want to do something that has eternal value and pleases you. And I prayed that to him. I left it in his hands. And 2 days later, I got a call back from my pastor and my mentor. And they told me that they would pay for me to go to Teen Challenge and take me there. So, man, I was in ecstatic joy and tears. I was just thankful. I knew God was still riding with me. He still had his hand out. He still had a plan for me. I was just so thankful. I experienced and glimpsed a part of God I hadn't before. And I left the hospital, and by May 12th, I entered Teen Challenge. And Teen Challenge, it's like a Christian boot camp for godly men. You know, it's not for the weak. It's not for the weak. We're a bunch of misfits who love God and love people, and we're growing. We're like a dysfunctional family, but we get along. I get to do all the things I like to do. I get to worship. I get to hear the word preached. I get to study the word. I get to go into communities and build gardens and serve food to the homeless. Like, I love this, you know? So I'm really enjoying this journey. And next month, I graduate phase one. I go to phase two, Pennsylvania, Lord willing. I don't know where exactly he's going to take me, but I know it's going to be somewhere good, you know? So I really don't have a success story as far as the world standards goes. You know, I don't have all these worldly things and financial prosperity, but I have faith and love in God that's in abundance, you know? And you serve an awesome God. I do know one thing. No type of medication, rehabilitation, self-help book, even life shattering painful circumstances could never have woken me up, changed my heart and direction of my life. I was gone without God, period. I was not going anywhere. And I'm just so thankful for him. Today, my spirit and my heart is alive to God. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's given me family. I have a mother, I have a sister and friends. I'm able to come back to Christian friends that I knew from my past. It's just so beautiful. I have a purpose in life. I have inner peace. I have a hope and eternal salvation with my God. I love the Lord. I love him the exact way he is. I would never have him any different. And I just want to share my favorite verse is Ephesians chapter 4, but God. It just starts out like that. Those two words, but God, because I was left in carnality and just total depravity. But God, his loving hand reached down and he saved me. I give him the glory and I love him. I thank you all for hearing me.
Okay. Well, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we say that Jesus is the way-o.
Father's house is what he saved. But if I go, I will come again to bring you home with me, my friend. Everybody say, way-o, 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 way-o.
Raise your hands.
Way-o, way-o, way-o. Jesus is the way-o.
Do we have one more? How you doing?
Good morning, good morning. I gotta excuse myself. They told me we're going to a picnic. I got dressed for a picnic.
Man. I wish I got dressed like that.
I apologize, I really apologize. Everybody dressed. good morning, my name is Brother Hector. I'm senior staff at Teen Challenge under Brother Andrew. Amen. God's been good to me. God's been real good to me. I grew up in the Humboldt Park area, drug-infested area. I started using drugs at the age of 17. Got high, continued. I did drugs, did heroin for over 38 years of my life. Did coke, acid. I've done it all. I was lost. At the age of 30, I got divorced, became a single parent. It got worse. That's when I really got introduced into heroin. I think heroin's from the devil. All the drugs are from the devil, but heroin is the worst of them of all. Now they got that crystal meth, they got everything else, but at the age of 46, I was just beaten down, strung up, walked into Teen Challenge just like my other brothers did. Skinny, don't look it like I was, but I was skinny. walked into the doors, just beaten up, strung out. I detoxed in the center. Took me about 2 weeks just to get my greater thought. I've been blessed. Before that, my family disowned me. I was sleeping in the park, sleeping in shelters, just trying to survive because I was too proud. I remember my daughter and my family telling me, you know, hey, Dad, you know, you go to Teen Challenge. So, you know, I'm 46 years old. What am I going to do with a bunch of teenagers, you know? It's like everybody thinks, you know, teenagers, you know, Teen Challenge. Soon as, you know, when they say, you know what, you're either going to get help, or we don't want nothing to do with you. It's like I tell my guys, I've been through it. My family disowned me and said, no. My sister told me, I want my brother back. So I walked at the Teen Challenge November 4th of 2004, strung out like I said. November 4th of 2015, it'll be 11 years I've been clean and sober. And I owe it to God because without Him, we can't do nothing. Yeah. We got to submit. We got to give ourselves to the Lord. We got guys that, oh, I don't want to believe in God. Stubborn, rebellious against us and against our rules. You know, we have rules for a reason because I'm a walking testimony of them rules.
Amen.
Amen. Like God's blessed me ever since I came into Teen Challenge. I want to thank you guys. Like I said, I apologize. I apologize. You know, I want to leave you with a scripture. This is what I tell the guys all the time. It reminds me of Teen Challenge student when we first came into the program. It was Proverbs 1:7. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. but fools describe wisdom and correction. Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me here.
Thank you, Hector. So I'm thinking you're glad you came to church today.
Oh, yeah.
And Hector is. And we're not done. I want to share a couple of announcements, but the first thing that...